verse, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. And there's this is a real good description of what the Lord Jesus Christ does for sinners and the transaction that takes place. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Just read the verse to you. We'll pray, and then I'll give you some context to it and make some comments on it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. The Bible says this: Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? So obviously this is in the context of a whole lot of other verses, and Paul's giving several prayer requests, and this is just one phrase in all of this. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, that Jesus Christ does that, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Let's pray and talk to you a little bit tonight about being delivered into Christ's kingdom. But let's pray. Father, thank you for your words here. Thank you for everybody that's here tonight. I pray you'd feed your flock tonight. I pray you'd help us. Pray you would, Lord, make these words, they're your words, they're living words. They apply to everybody here. And I pray you'd show us where they apply. And people at different points in their life, different places, different relationships with you. Maybe some don't have a relationship with you. But I pray that you would make all these things understandable and applicable. I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, help me say what you once said tonight. Thank you for these words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. And Lord, a future and a hope beyond just the death of this body. And I pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in this verse, let me give you a little bit of context so we're not just kind of doing the middle of this thing. Go back over to verse 9 and let's read a few things. And then we'll pick it up in verse 13. In verse 9, Colossians chapter 1, Paul says this: For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's our verse tonight, verse 13. So there's several things on Paul's prayer list here for the Colossians. And then he starts to describe the work of Jesus Christ. And when a person trust Jesus Christ, right, not only are you saved from something, but you're saved to something else. So it's not just like life insurance or something like that, which is a great motivation to get saved. You understand that you're a sinner. You understand that those sins are going to be paid for. God is a just God, and sins get paid for. Either you pay for them or you let Jesus Christ pay for them. And if you let Jesus Christ pay for them, then you as a sinner now have the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And not only do you have the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, not only do you have forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, but now there's a basis for you to be able to please God with this life. Before, you and I were sinners, and we kind of do what we think is right and don't really have any input from God and anything like that. And so we just, like he says in Proverbs, he says, Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Everything you do, you justify. You have a reason for doing it. And so until you get some light outside of yourself, until you get some revelation from God where he, like he says here, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, all right? The power of darkness, here's a little description of this. So the power of darkness, here you have, I was talking to the fellow today, but most folks who, even if they go to church, most folks don't understand the relationship or the need for God in their life. And so, you know what that is? That's just black. That's darkness. That means I look out beyond my doorstep and I see I have a car, I see I have a house, I see I have a relatively happy family, and I don't really see a need for Jesus Christ. I don't see a need for God. And so, you know what? That's just darkness. What happens is you don't realize the brevity of this life, the briefness of this life, and that one day your family will be looking over a body in a casket and your soul will be somewhere. Now, that's part of salvation where God rescues a soul, but he takes you out of darkness. You trust Jesus Christ, he takes you out of darkness. And not only does he rescue you from darkness, but he puts you into a kingdom that's light, the kingdom of his dear son. So here's the idea. You're delivered from something and you're delivered to something. People sometimes get the idea, all right, well, church or the Bible or Christianity or whatever you want to call what you think is going on with God and all that, it's just this set of rules, and I don't really see the point of some of these rules. So all I see is don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and I don't see the point where or the place where I'm supposed to do something else. The verse explains what Paul's explaining is not only if you've trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, not only have you been delivered from something, but now you've been delivered into something else. Now you have eternal life. Now you have an opportunity to please God in this life. Now you have a life that can be used by God in this temporary time here. So another thing to note on all this, I've been talking with several of you about this periodically lately. If there's no such thing as eternal security, some of you have been dealing with this and thinking about this and all this, there's no such thing as being delivered. Notice the verse, notice the wording here. Who hath delivered? That's past. That means something was accomplished. It's not in the process of being accomplished. It's not waiting to be accomplished. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, all right? You see that? So if your religion doesn't give you any kind of assurance of deliverance, then your religion isn't biblical. I was just talking to somebody today about this. We were talking about religion and church and things like that. And he brought up a friend of his, and I brought up someone I was talking to. And I know I've told you guys the story, but... And I told him, I said, well, if you don't understand the value of the Bible, what it means as far as it's revelation from God, it's light. You'll do whatever you want to do, and you'll justify what you want to do. But the Bible is light. It gives light on your life, your family, salvation, everything. And you can just imagine, you can just understand. If you believe in a creator, then you probably believe that the creator has something to say about your life. And he probably has some input on how things run and how marriage operates and how there are several things that he probably has some input on. And so we're talking about it and got to the point of dealing with salvation and you know, I go to church, but I don't know if this is enough. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I have forgiveness of sins. I don't know if... And so we're talking about that, and I said, well, what is the value of that religion if you don't know that you have forgiveness of sins? What's the value of church attendance if you don't know that you have eternal security in Jesus Christ? The point being in all of this, in the Bible, God tells you clearly, in Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness of sins, and there is a point in time where you as a sinner can trust Jesus Christ and have sins completely forgiven. You can have justification. God will drop all charges. Not that God is trying to be a big meanie in the sky and try to hurt your life. He loves you. He provided salvation. And there is a point in time where you as a sinner can understand, you know what, I have offended, I have done things contrary to what God said, and I need mercy. And God offers mercy in Jesus Christ. And he offers forgiveness of sins, not for you to keep working on forgiveness of sins. So the verse says, he hath translated us. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Delivered means it happened. It's not in the process of happening. He's not waiting for it to happen. And because he's delivered us from, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, because he's delivered you from sin now, because he's delivered you from the power of darkness, now you have an opportunity to serve him in light. So here's what he says. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So it's not just, you know, don't do this, don't do this. It's, here's a whole new agenda for your life now. I have rescued your soul from hell, from judgment, not because I wanted to send you to hell, not because I want judgment for your life. Listen, if you don't get your sins forgiven in Jesus Christ, if you think you're just a good old person and you'll just, you know, you'll make it through and all that stuff, and you never get your sins forgiven, and you wind up in hell, you will do that against the will of God. God's will is not that you perish. God's will is that you would have forgiveness of sins. And then on top of that forgiveness, his will is that you would then serve him. Serve him, not serve me, but serve him. Not serve your own idea of it, but serve him. So here's the verse. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So here's the standing of a believer. You are presently delivered from the power of darkness. You're not in the process of being delivered. It's not if you don't confess all your sins, some of you know about this, if you don't confess all your sins, then, you know, there's still some things he's going to hold against you. Well, then that verse isn't true. Then you're not delivered. That means you're in the process of being maybe delivered, but you never know. How do I know? When do I know for sure that my soul, I am forgiven of my sins? When do I know that? And if your religion says, well, you can't ever know that, then your religion is not biblical. Your religion has nothing to do with what Jesus Christ has done. What God offers in Jesus Christ is forgiveness of sins. So he says, here's the standing of a believer in Jesus Christ, someone who has come to God on the basis of Jesus Christ, looking for forgiveness of sins. Here's their standing now. Presently, you are delivered from the power of darkness. Okay, well, how does that work? I mean, I'm still in a body that sins. I'm still dealing with sickness. I'm still dealing with problems in this flesh. Well, you're waiting now for the redemption of the body, but God has presently delivered you from the power of darkness in that your sins are forgiven, you're justified before God, and now you're waiting for the body to be changed, for the flesh to be incorruptible, and all those things that are provided in Jesus Christ. So here's the standing, presently delivered. You're not in the process of it, presently delivered. From what? From the power of darkness. All right, what's the power of darkness? What in the world is that? The power of darkness, I would say power of darkness provides cover for the enemy. Before you got a hold of the Bible, if some of you started reading the Bible, some of you started really digging into the Bible, before you got a hold of the Bible, you were unaware who your enemy was. You didn't know who he was. You didn't know where to find him. You might have thought these people are your enemy. You might have thought this thing's your enemy. And all the while you're facing death head on. You're headed right for this grave. And the one who is in control of all that, you got the devil who is the one who has corrupted everything. But the power of darkness is, I don't know who my enemy is. I don't know where he's coming at me. I don't know anything about him. Here's a good verse. It says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. haven't you got up at night? You try to walk through the house and there's no lights on, and you stub your toe or something, or you trip over, you step on a Lego. Those things are hurt. I mean, and you hit something, and I mean, you didn't see it coming. You didn't know where it came from. You don't even know what it is that hurts you. You just know, man, I just got hurt. You know what it is? That's a great illustration of the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. You just go through life, and all of a sudden you get hammered. You don't know where is this coming from? I got no idea. I don't even know what I'm dealing with here. I don't know how to get out of it. I don't know who to look to. You know what that is? That's just darkness. Thank God, he offers some light. And he gives you some revelation. And he says, listen, I want to turn the lights on for you. I want you to see where you're going. As God is a loving, gracious God. He doesn't want you to stumble around this life trying to figure out what's going on. He says, listen, I'm the creator. This is how things operate. This is how things work. This is where you're headed. This is where your direction's going to take you. This is where I want to take you. And you know what it is? This is light. He says over there in Psalms, he says, thy word, you guys probably know the verse, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Contrary to that is the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't know what has caused this. Power of darkness. Darkness provides cover to the real enemy. Darkness gives you a false sense of security. I would say that is one of the biggest things. All right, when you want to do something wrong, when your kids want to do something wrong, and you've heard this illustration 100 times, when you do that, when your kids do that, they don't do it out in the open. They do it under the cover of some darkness. And the reason is because I don't want people to see, because I feel a little more secure doing wrong in darkness because I don't think people are looking at me. And so darkness, the power of darkness, provides a sense of security that's really not security at all. But it provides a sense of security. So here's the power of darkness working out in an adult's life who doesn't know Jesus Christ. They feel like they're doing pretty good. They feel like, you know, hey, I don't sin that bad. You know what that is? That's a sense of it's not too bad. It's a sense of security that you shouldn't have. If you have, I mean, it only takes one sin to be a lawbreaker, but you've sinned a lot more than you realize. You've done a lot more things contrary to God, but here's, you know, talking to folks, and it's just, well, I don't think I'm that bad of a person. Well, that's a false sense of security. You're not that bad in your eyes, but you're not the standard. Jesus Christ is the standard. God is the standard. God is the judge. In my eyes, I'm not that bad, but I'm not the judge. So I need to know what the judge says is bad. I need to know what the judge says is wrong. I need to know what the judge says, hey, this is the line over here. I know you thought the line was over here, but no, you crossed the line over here. Here's what Jesus Christ said. A lawyer shows up and he says, well, can you sum up the whole law and tell me what I'm supposed to do? And he says, all right, the whole law is summed up in this. Love the Lord God with all your soul, strength, heart, mind, everything. And love your neighbor as yourself. And I look back on my life and I think, there might have been a couple of hours in my life where I loved God with everything, but the most part of my life is not loving God with everything. And if Jesus Christ said, this is the one that encompasses them all, you might look at your life and think, I've never done that. I've never loved God with everything. So that would mean the very first law has been broken, but you didn't know that until Jesus Christ said that. Until God shines some light on what you thought was a good life. And then you kind of take that light in and you say, okay, well, if that's the standard, well, I don't meet the standard. Okay, well, that's good. Now you're making progress. Now you understand you're not the judge, and the judge has this standard, and the judge says, I created you for this purpose, and you haven't accomplished this purpose a day in your life. You've never accomplished this purpose. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be hurtful. I'm just trying to point out, when people justify their lives, the power of darkness is this. It is a sense of security where there's no security. I feel like I'm a good person. I never killed anybody. I never, you know, done these bad things and done this bad thing. Okay, well, that's kind of all in your mind. What does the judge say? And here's what the judge says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, well, I don't do that very often. What do I do now? Well, you understand, I'm a sinner. I need some forgiveness. I'm not accomplishing what God's purpose is for me. That's the power of darkness. Give you a false sense of security. Darkness hides the way out. I mean, the power of darkness is the ability to mask what the exit is. Where's the help coming from? I'll give you a good verse. Look over in Acts. Let me show you this real quick. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. So Paul is explaining before King Agrippa what his ministry is and giving it at the same time a defense of himself. And in Acts chapter 26, he says this, verse 15, describing when he got saved, and he says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Now watch this. This is the ministry of Paul. To open their eyes. You know what that's blindness. They were walking in blindness. You are walking in blindness. I was walking in blindness. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Paul just described his ministry, and he said he's dealing with blindness. He's dealing with people who are subjected to Satan and the power of Satan. He's dealing with people who are unforgiven and people who have no inheritance in Jesus Christ. So here's what you got. Paul was preaching to Gentiles who are lost, who are just doing their own things. Do your own thing for a few years and eventually die, and then what? What do you do then? You die, the body dies, the soul goes where? What happens to the soul? Heaven or hell? What happens to it? Well, if it's not forgiven, there's no place for it. There's no inheritance for it. But Paul says, I'm sent to preach to the Gentiles, to remove the blindness, to take them out of the grips of the devil, to bring forgiveness of sins, to preach forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, to preach an inheritance that's beyond this life. The power of darkness hides all those things. That's what people are living under, the power of darkness. So that's the negative side of it. So back over in Colossians, here's the positive side of it. Here's the positive side of it. Paul said, verse 13, Colossians 1:13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." So a soul that comes to Jesus Christ is not only saved out of something, but is saved unto something else. And that something is the kingdom of his dear Son. That's Jesus Christ. Now, at the present time, you don't see the kingdom. You can't see it. It's a spiritual kingdom right now. In fact, Paul would explain, he said, there's the kingdom of God. He said, it's not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I can't see those things. I can't measure those things. I can't taste those things. But I know I have peace. I know I got joy. It was a blessing. So last night when Josh called me, we're driving home from Victoria, and Josh calls me, and he's been handing out tracts and stuff like that, talking to folks about Jesus Christ and all that, and very excited. And then, I mean, there's others of you could say, but after talking to Josh on the phone, you know what that is? That's joy. You can hear the excitement. You hear the joy. You know what you don't have outside of Jesus Christ? You don't have that joy. That stuff happens in the Holy Ghost where Paul says, he explains it. He says, the kingdom of Jesus Christ right now is a spiritual kingdom. It's not gold. It's not money. None of those things. Right now it's spiritual. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, there's coming a time when it's going to be physical. The body of Jesus Christ is not dead. Jesus Christ is very much alive. And he's coming back. And when he comes back, that kingdom will be physical, just as much physical as it is spiritual. But you have the characteristics of the kingdom and the nature of the kingdom already at work spiritually, but you don't have the physical aspects of it yet. And it's all described in the Bible. When Jesus Christ returns, he'll remove the curse from the earth, and there's a lot of things that go on with that. But right now, you don't see all that. Right now, you don't have all that. In fact, serving God, you might find out that serving God removes you from a lot of the pleasures of this life. But it puts those things on the back burner, puts those things back here, because there is a greater inheritance coming. I'm not living for this 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years that I have here. That's a short time. I'm living for something much longer than that. An inheritance that's incorruptible. An inheritance that doesn't fade away. An inheritance that doesn't come with disease and sickness and things like that. I'm living for an inheritance now that is eternal. Now, you can't see it all right now. So what does he say? You walk by faith now. I trust what God said about this reward and this inheritance. And in Jesus Christ, he says he's delivered you, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, from the power of darkness unto the kingdom of his dear Son. And because it's not physical yet, he says, here's what I'll do. I'm going to give you the spirit, the nature, the characteristics of this kingdom until it comes physically in Jesus Christ. I will pour out my spirit on mankind, and what you talk about in Acts 2 and all that stuff, pour out his spirit and offer mankind forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, and anyone who will come to God on the basis of Jesus Christ now has an inheritance with Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't want forgiveness of sins, or you don't think you need forgiveness of sins, we've talked about it in Sunday school, you're not going to come to God because you don't see any need for God. You don't see any problem with your life right now. You kind of judge things the way that you would see them, and you don't have any input from God about it. And so the only thing stopping someone from seeking the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ is that they believe they've already got righteousness. I believe I'm already good enough. But you understand. You don't even hold up to your own standards. You say people shouldn't lie. Hey, you know you've told some lies. You say people shouldn't do this or do that, and the things you say people should do, you've done those things. You don't even hold up to your own standards. Not 100% of the time, not every day, all the time. And God's standards are, they're much higher than your standards and my standards. But again, God is gracious. He's not trying to put his thumb on you. He's not trying to hurt people. He offers forgiveness of sins. And the only reason you wouldn't take forgiveness of sins is because you don't think you need forgiveness of sins. But God is gracious. Jesus Christ died on the cross, not so you could look to him and say, well, that was a good thing he did. You know why Jesus Christ died on the cross? Because that's the only way to pay for your sins. He's not just some historical event and, you know, it's some religious thing, put a cross on the wall and all that. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sin. And God is gracious enough to offer forgiveness of sins. And not only that, not only forgiveness of sins, say, listen, I will give you an inheritance when I come back. I will give you an inheritance, not an inheritance that comes with hospital bills and comes with doctors and morgues. I will give you an inheritance that is incorruptible. I will give you an inheritance that is eternal. I will give you an inheritance that has no downside to it. Pretty good deal. So when Paul says, and this is just one thing among many that he's going to list here. He says, who hath delivered, Jesus Christ hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's Jesus Christ. That's his kingdom. And so, if you're saved, if your religion says, well, I've just got to be good enough until the time comes, this verse doesn't make any sense, because when he says you're delivered, that means there's a point in time where it's done. He has delivered this soul from this place and translated that soul from this place to this place. Not in the process of doing it, not waiting for it to happen. It's happened. It's done. And in Jesus Christ, it's a done deal. So that is a blessing to know. God the Father is a good God. He's a gracious God. and he offers forgiveness of sins, and he offers an inheritance with Jesus Christ, and he offers deliverance. And if you don't want any of those things, you will do it against the will of God, because this is God's will. God's not trying to be mean. He's not trying to be hateful. He is trying to rescue people from darkness and get them into light. I'll say this last thing. Maybe you've been saved a while, and you understand salvation is from judgment of God. It's from this sin, from the consequences of this sin. And you have eternal life, but your eternal life is, you don't understand what you're supposed to do with it. You don't understand what the positive side of being saved is. You just understand, well, I've got saved from that, and my salvation will kick in when I die. No, if you got saved, you trusted Jesus Christ, you now have eternal life. You're now living out eternal life. But for some folks, maybe your idea and understanding of eternal life is more intellectual than it is actually experiential. Like you've read a lot in the Bible about eternal life, but you've never lived out eternal life. You don't know what serving God looks like. You've heard about it. You just read some things about it, but you don't understand, or you've never experienced. So it's more intellectual than it is experiential, if that makes sense. You can have some head knowledge about it. You can walk around and kind of look at Jesus Christ and say, well, he looks like this, he looks like that, he acts like this, he does that, does that. But you've never experienced friendship with Jesus Christ. You've never experienced joy in Jesus Christ. You've never experienced peace in Jesus Christ. So your understanding of eternal life is more sort of from a distance and sort of just, I read about it, but I don't really know. I've never lived it out. Listen, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You can start living eternal life now. In fact, that's God's will, is that you would start living it now. Start living the life that God's given you now. Not wait till you die and, okay, I'll go to heaven when I die. Okay. But God's will is, and he has kept you here so that you can serve him in a way that you were created to do it. So, all that said, that is that verse there, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.